In today's news headlines, Andrew Gillum, the mayor of Tallahassee, Florida, has won the Democratic nomination for governor, making history as the first Black gubernatorial nominee of a major party in his state. Democrats picked Gillum on Tuesday after Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders had stumped hard for him for months. According to the Miami Herald, quote, running to the left of his rivals, and despite being vastly outspent, the charismatic and proudly liberal Gillum built a devoted statewide following of progressives. He had a well-received message of social justice and lifting up the downtrodden and an appeal to Florida's growing diversity, end of quote. Gillum beat former U.S. Representative Gwen Graham, who had initially led the polls and was favored by Democratic Party leaders to win. Florida Republicans picked Representative Ron DeSantis, who had been backed by Trump, as their party's nominee for governor. The race between DeSantis and Gillum in November will be a symbolic battle between Sanders and Trump's approach to American politics. Already, Trump jumped into the fray, tweeting on Wednesday morning that Gillum was, quote, a failed socialist mayor. Arizonans also went to the polls on Tuesday in their state's primary race to choose party nominees for a Senate seat being vacated by Jeff Flake, as well as for governor and two House seats. Representative Martha McSally won the Republican Senate nomination, beating out Kelly Ward and Joe Arpaio, both of whom are loyal to Trump. Arpaio is the former sheriff of Maricopa County who was convicted by the federal government and then controversially pardoned by Trump. Democrats picked Kyrsten Sinema for the Senate nomination, who could beat McSally in November, flipping a crucial Senate seat from red to blue. Arizona's governor's races resulted in Doug Ducey winning the GOP's primary versus David Garcia on the Democratic side. If Garcia wins in November, he would be the state's first Latino governor in decades, and as a progressive who backs Medicare for All, among other issues. In other news, Canadian trade representatives joined trilateral talks on NAFTA on Tuesday, just a day after U.S. President Trump announced that the U.S. struck a deal with Mexico alone. The announcement came amidst the latest rounds of talks to redraw the North America Free Trade Agreement. With Canada rejoining talks, it's possible that NAFTA might be saved, but a Friday deadline to do so looms large. According to Reuters, quote, Ottawa will be under pressure to accept new terms on autos trade, dispute settlement, and intellectual property rules after the U.S. and Mexico agreed on Monday to overhaul NAFTA. After our headlines today, we'll speak with Patrick Woodall of Food and Water Watch to understand what the latest news on NAFTA means. The death toll from Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico last year has once more been updated. Governor Ricardo Rosello updated the official number of dead from 64 to a whopping 2,975. The revision came after an independent study commissioned by the government was conducted. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders used the revised estimate to praise her president's disaster response, saying Trump, quote, remains proud of all the work the federal family undertook to help our fellow citizens in Puerto Rico. The study was completed almost exactly a year after Maria hit Puerto Rico. A former police officer in Dallas County, Texas, was just convicted of murdering an unarmed 15-year-old African-American boy. Oliver Roy, who is white, fired shots into a car as it drove away from a party, saying that he feared for his partner's life. Roy was removed from duty shortly after the shooting, which killed Jordan Edwards. Edwards' parents and relatives who were in the courtroom expressed relief at the guilty verdict. It is highly unusual for juries to convict police officers of murder, despite the extraordinarily high rates of officer-involved shootings in the U.S. and the disproportionate targeting of African Americans. California Governor Jerry Brown on Tuesday signed a major bill into law reforming its cash bail system. In a statement, Brown said, "Today, California reforms its bail system so that rich and poor alike are treated fairly. The new law will not require any money for bail. Instead, it will give judges and local courts discretion to decide who remains in jail while they await trial and who gets released." The ACLU of California, which originally backed the bill, withdrew its endorsement, saying that judges got too much discretion in the end. President Trump cannot understand why there is so much bad news about him on Google and has decided to take the internet search engine to task over it. On Tuesday, he complained bitterly on Twitter that, quote, Google search results for Trump news shows only the viewing / reporting of fake news media, and that, quote, Google and others are suppressing voices of conservatives and hiding information and news that is good. The White House is now apparently investigating whether Google is indeed manipulating search results. Google representatives responded saying, "We never rank search results to manipulate political sentiment." Later on Tuesday, Trump repeated his far-fetched claims at the White House and broadened his critiques to Twitter and Facebook.
I think Google is really taking advantage of a lot of people, and I think that's a very serious thing, and it's a very serious charge. I think what Google and what others are doing, if you look at what's going on at Twitter, if you look at what's going on in Facebook, they better be careful, because you can't do that to people. You can't do it. We have literally thousands and thousands of complaints coming in, and you just can't do that. So I think that Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory, and they have to be careful. It's not fair to large portions of the population.
That's Trump on Tuesday warning internet companies to be careful because he has determined that they're only showing bad news about him. Meanwhile, a billboard in Union Township, New Jersey is making waves for an unflattering photo of Trump, next to which read the words, "Our leader, the idiot." The billboard is apparently an ad for a documentary film by an activist named Neil Harrison. A company named Outfront Media owns the billboard and has been identified by local officials to those who are offended by its message. President Trump's legal team has sought to dismiss a defamation lawsuit by Stormy Daniels, the actress who has accused Trump of having had an affair with her and then paying her hush money to keep it quiet. Lawyers for the president filed a request in federal court in Los Angeles on Tuesday, saying that Daniels' lawsuit was an affront to the president's free speech rights. Attorney Michael Avenatti, who is representing Ms. Daniels, called the attempt, quote, baseless and desperate. Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, recently pled guilty to violating federal election laws for paying Daniels $130,000 to remain quiet about her relationship with Trump. The U.S. Senate on Tuesday voted to confirm Trump's nominee to the position of vice chair of the Federal Reserve. Richard Clarida is a hedge fund manager and an economics professor at Columbia University and was confirmed by senators from both major parties in a vote of 69 to 26. According to Reuters, quote, Clarida, whose term as vice chair will last 4 years, is seen as a key ally of Fed Chair Jerome Powell, and has aligned himself with centrists at the Fed in supporting gradual interest rate rises. In international news, the U.S. reiterated its support for Saudi Arabia's brutal war on Yemen on the same date that the United Nations Human Rights Council accused the Saudis and their allies of committing potential war crimes against civilians. Defense Secretary James Mattis gave a rare news conference on Tuesday where he defended the Saudi government's conduct in Yemen despite high rates of civilian casualties, especially of children.
We have had pilots in the air who recognize the danger of a specific mission and decline to drop even when they get the authority. We have seen staff procedures that put no fire areas around areas where there's hospitals or schools. We recognize every mistake like this is tragic in every way, but we have not seen any callous disregard by the people we're working with.
That's Defense Secretary Jim Mattis speaking at a news conference on Tuesday about ongoing U.S. support for Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. Secretary Mattis also said that the U.S. would not suspend any more military drills with South Korea, in another indication that the much-vaunted détente between the U.S. and North Korea appears to be unraveling. And that does it for our headlines today.